Hello, travelers, and welcome to our contribution to the podcast of Wild Mount Project. If you're new to Venture Maidens, welcome! We are a veteran D&D podcast created by a cast of women and non-binary individuals. In this episode, we're playing the same characters from our main campaign, but we are traveling away from the homebrew world of the plains to visit the world of Wild Mount, created by the fabulous Matthew Mercer. If you like what you hear, please consider checking out the rest of the show. We have over 70 episodes, recap episodes if you don't want to hear all 70 episodes, and we publish new episodes on our feed every other Sunday. We also have a killer community of supportive folks who make our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, and Discord servers a wonderful, welcoming place to belong. To get that all summarized, you can always visit our website, venturemaidens.com. But that's all for me. Let's play some dang Dungeons and Dragons.
Gather round, travelers, to hear a different tale. Our heroes are sent to an entirely different land to locate a missing treasure hunter. Will the many factions of Wildmount interfere with our maiden's mission? What grand treasure has attracted the attention of an Archmage? Can our heroes prove a match against slumbering relics of the Age of Arcanum? Find out in our special Podcasts of Wildmount episode, National Treasures.
Oh my gosh, welcome to this super duper special episode of the Venture Maidens. For those of you who have been watching our social media feed, you are probably aware that tonight we are taking a deviation from our main campaign and exploring something new and exciting, which is the Explorer's Guide to Wildmount, which Wizards of the Coast just recently announced that they were releasing. So that book will be coming out in about a month. And it's really cool. It debuts the world from Critical Role, like the vast, huge setting that Matthew Mercer has put together and designed here is now available to share with the world of D&D. So we're going to touch on some of the themes in that, explore, debut a little bit of content for you. We are not doing spoilers from the main campaign. So anyone who's like, what is this? Don't worry, you're safe. Stay with us. In fact, if you have any critter friends, tell them to get here right now, because we're about to get Critical Role up in this shit. Yes, I'm very excited. I spend a lot of time reading this book, and there is just so much going on in this world and so many moving parts. I hope I can do them all justice. But that's enough of me talking. Let's do some intros here. Hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Conowich, and I'm going to be your dungeon master.
My name is Brittany Quintero, and I will be your Moon Elf Warlock, Arnadel Ithil.
I am Katie, and I'm going to be playing Farrah Valen, the Tiefling Sorceress.
Hello, I'm Nassim Etemad. I'm playing your human monk, Sawya Noor.
And I'm Sage, and I'll be your barbarian today, Carbon Hilda.
Yes! So, there's no recap, because you might have noticed we are going to be playing our characters from the main campaign. This recording is part of a podcast of event, which the Venture Maidens have been lucky to participate in a few of these. And usually what we do for these is we kind of spin them as like one-shot sort of adventures, things that are happening between the main events of the campaign here. So in true fashion, we're starting off again here. So your old buddy, Valerius, at the Elysium Keep, approaches you all one day. The middle of likely brunch is probably what you all are doing. When he finds you and says, maiden, so glad to have caught you here. There's a bit of a situation that I'm hoping, if none of you are busy at the moment, that you could help resolve for me.
We are the situation solvers, so please, Valerius, what's going on?
Wonderful. I've never called you that, but that's a great title. I think we should pick that up. Well, it's a little bit complicated, but stick with me here. So we have an agent in another place that we've been working with. They're sort of part of a sister organization, another, let's call them a network of information, a network known as the Lens. We have been in contact with a mage there named Kaldax, who has provided us a lot of interesting information about a new kind of magic that is brewing in this place. We have been in constant communication with them as they look for something for us, but recently communication stopped. We haven't received any of the reports we were supposed to, and we are worried that something has happened. So I need to get you there, and you need to find Kaldax. If they're alive, fantastic. Get that final report from them. If they're not, well, we need to know so we can invest our resources elsewhere.
Any ideas on where we would start looking for him, Kaldax?
Yes. So my plan is to send you to the last known location of Kaldax, where they sent over their last communication. And hopefully they're still nearby to that area. I'm sending you to a place called Wildmount. It's a continent that is, well, highly dangerous, for lack of a better word. There are many factions that could have interfered with Kaldax, and any number of them might have caused him trouble. So hopefully you'll get there and figure it out from there. I'm sorry I can't provide you with more.
What does this Kaldax look like so we know what we're looking for?
Mm-hmm. They're an elven man, stand about 5.5 feet tall, usually wearing robes or the traditional armor of the Kryn Dynasty, which is sort of a bug. Like carapace. It's horrible. You can't miss it.
okay. Truly.
But hopefully they will be there, and I believe they were traveling with a group of others from the Kryn Dynasty as they were looking for this artifact. So hopefully they won't be too difficult to find, and this was all just some kind of misunderstanding.
Are we the only ones that might be looking for him?
On our end, certainly.
So they already have their own people out looking for him.
Well, I'm not sure. So the Lens, again, they work in mysterious ways. So the Kryn Dynasty may not know the location of this group, and they may not know to send help if it is required.
Sorry, I should have specified. Should we, like, keep this on the DL? You know, like, if we go through a town, you know, like, hey, have you seen this person working for this organization?
Very much so. Kaldax is in enemy territory at the moment.
Okay.
There are two main factions dividing the land, the Dwendalian Empire and the Kryn Dynasty. They do not get along.
Mm.
Kaldax is currently researching something that might technically be in the territory of the Dwendalian Empire.
See. So. Mum's the word.
Use caution.
Yeah.
And stealth. And he Valeris gives Kara a look. Stealth.
Okay. I'll try.
We'll do our best.
Wonderful. Well, gather what you will and meet me at the tower as soon as you're ready.
Can we finish our pancake?
Yeah. Nod and let you finish your mimosas and your pancakes.
Cool. I mean, waffles too.
Yes. Yeah.
Waffles and pancakes? It's carb feast.
Have you ever been to a Waffle House at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I Denny's? Does that count? Oh, no. Yes. No, no. A Waffle House. I see.
You got a carb load when you might be fighting. It's important.
Yeah. We're adventurers. We need the nutrition.
Wow. Okay. I just got schooled in nutrition. All right, so if you have any final preparations you would like to make before setting out on this journey, let me know. Otherwise, we'll boop to the Arcane Tower.
Oh, I think I'm good.
Yeah, just get the old backpack full of stuff, the old sword.
The old trusty sword, the old trusty backpack. Yeah, so you grab your stuff and you meet up at the Arcane Tower. All right, so as you all assemble in the very familiar chamber that has that teleportation circle, Valeris is already there patiently waiting for all of you. And he says, he hands over like a small stone towards just whoever will take it. And he says, whenever you're ready to return, you can contact me through this.
Nice.
Well, are you ready to head off to Wildmount?
Are we ever?
Fantastic. And he like throws the big switch. And you feel that like sense as like teleportation comes over you. And, you know, you hear your familiar like elevator teleportation music that we've come to know and love. And suddenly you find yourselves in a completely different place. So it's about the same time of day as when you left here. So around like 10 a.m. or so. So full daylight at this point. And you are standing on this rocky, sort of barren hillside. The land around you has like sparse patches of growth on it. But most of the land is sort of sandy, almost like charred, if you had to describe it. And all around you are these kind of rolling hills and surfaces. And you're very close to this very large set of hills that might be leading up into like a mountain range of some kind that are just kind of surrounding, blocking the landscape here. And that's where you are.
Okay.
Start looking around for dead bodies that match the description
of this mage of Kaldex.
Yeah. Any tracks to kind of leading to a more habited area as well?
Yeah, sure. Why don't y'all go ahead and give me survival checks to kind of see what's going on here?
I got a 6.
That's a 15.
Holy smokes. That's a 26.
Hell yeah.
Oh boy. Wow. Okay. Well, a 26. Well, looking at the area, you know, you're kind of just scouting around, looking for tracks, anything. There really aren't any tracks, like none at all. There's no animal tracks, nothing. And then Kara, as you're looking at the situation with your amazing survival, you would guess that this area has actually been swept of tracks. Like somebody tried to cover things up. And sure enough, you do find like just fine cinders of like the remains of like ashes of a fire that have been scattered already by somebody, but your keen, amazing REI eyes managed to pick up
my REIs.
Your REIs. Wow. Oh no. It's bad. That's not good. So at some point there was a camp here, and the covered trail sort of leads off in an easterly direction towards that larger mountain range in the distance.
Yeah, so you see Kara kneel down, and she like takes a pinch of the sand to her nose, and someone covered up the fact that they were here, and I think they're trying to cover up the tracks, and she explains to you all how she can tell, and she points it out. So I think we gotta go this way. And starts leading the way towards the east.
Yeah, absolutely. Alright, so you all kind of wind your way closer towards these mountain ranges, and you walk for about 30 minutes, like, as the mountains are getting larger and larger, looming in front of you. And then go ahead and make me some perception checks.
I got a 10.
Natural 1.
Oh, boy.
17.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hot out here. It's sort of weird. Like, the heat does weird things off of this, like, charred sort of land. It's almost like you're on a landlocked beach, kind of, as you're moving through. But not quite desert. It's very odd. Yeah, so, and it's just kind of hard to see up in front of you with the heat shimmering off. Sorry, what did you get?
17.
17. Okay. So you are the one who eventually spots, like, in the distance, kind of around the curve of one of these mountains here. You actually see scaffolding that has been built up, like, about 10 feet or so, wooden scaffolding. You can't see the rest of what's happening there, but clearly, like, just around the corner, there's some kind of structure that has been built.
Hmm. There's definitely something up ahead. I don't know what it could be. I just see a little bit of a scaffolding, bit of a roof, probably leading into somewhere into the mountain. I could try to fly up ahead and get a closer look from a bird's eye view, but I don't know how much detail I can get from the sky. Kind of just feel like flying.
So, sorry, you want to take to the skies?
Did I take to the skies, guys?
Do it!
Okay, what do your wings look like? This is your first time you're using them.
Oh my god, they're fabulous. They look like dragonfly wings. They're very iridescent, green, and like mm-hmm. aqua. And of course, sparkling, mm-hmm. glittery as hell. Yeah.
So you do take them like out of this beautiful case and you see just the sparkling, beautiful wings here. And then they have those little elastic bands. Like imagine like a child's costume, like a fairy wings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you put those on. And then as you do so, the wings transform into these incredible translucent, you know, human-sized dragonfly wings. And there's like a little buzzing sound you make when you fly up into the air.
Fabulous. Magical. I'm in heaven.
I love it. All right. So you want to go ahead and get a little closer?
Yeah. Yeah.
So are you trying to do this sneakily or like just going up really high? What's your strategy here?
I mean, I don't know how sneaky you can be unless there are clouds, some kind of coverage in the sky.
There really aren't. You could like stick kind of close to the mountainside and like try.
Right. Okay. We'll do that.
Sure. So give me a stealth. Round the back.
Round the back. That's a dirty 20, please.
Ooh, girl. Yeah, so you're aloft with the Fae Flight wings. You kind of creep your way towards this mountain range here and just like stick very, very close and low towards this rock face here. And you creep around to where the scaffolding begins. And you see that this natural kind of curve opens up in this mountain range here. And there's a lot more of the scaffolding that has been built across this, maybe like an 100-foot area or so. As part of this mountain here has actually been carved away. And you see that there's a large like tunnel entrance towards something else. But at the base where all of the scaffolding is, there are actually a series of tents here. So just kind of giving a cursory glance, this looks like some kind of like archaeological dig site here. You see that like packs of provisions are stacked up by these tents. There are actually a lot of people moving around in this area. And most of the people here are dressed in red uniforms that bear a crest that looks like sort of an owl that's holding a crown. And all of these figures are armed and they seem to be guarding the campsite here. There's a bunch of them that are posted up at the entrance to this cave. And then you see one of the larger white tents has a bunch of these guards posted at the outside here. And the rest are just sort of aimlessly like wandering around the small camp.
Wow. Is it like carved into the mountain going down like below ground level or like into the side of the...
So into the side. So if you all have ever seen like those National Geographic features on like excavating Egyptian tombs, that's sort of like what you're getting here. So it's kind of a higher up point. Yeah, and rock has been specifically chiseled away to reveal this tunnel entrance leading into the mountain.
Okay. From my vantage point, can I spot any quiet ways that we could enter this area and, like, find a form of path through the maze in my head to get to...
Sure.
Not the tent.
Yeah, so looking at the area, I mean, it's all pretty compact. This is like the camp itself is a circle that's like directly in front of this tunnel here. So there's really no way to get to the tunnel without moving through the camp. But there are a few of these large tents out in the area. So you might be able to like sneak by and like climb up if you can deal with the guards, like just standing post inside the tunnel or at one of these tents, perhaps. It'd certainly be tricky in full daylight.
Okay. Well, then I'll return back to the maidens and report what I've seen. Everyone, there is some kind of camp up ahead. It might be the Lens people, the group, but I don't know. They seemed a little bit more on guard than I guess I would expect them to be. But there's a tunnel leading into the mountain, and there's also some special tent that everyone is guarding, or at least a few guards are standing around. And I explain the owl with the crown. Does anyone recognize that? Does that sound familiar to anyone? I'm going to also make a knowledge.
History?
History, okay. I got a 19.
Sorry. With the 19, you happened to see in the tower when Valerius was like about to send you away, there was a book that was open on the table all about Wildmount, the continent of. And some of the various factions to watch out for. And you know that the symbol of the owl, like above this crown with kind of like the two sheaves of wheat on either side, that is the symbol of the Dwendalian Empire. So of their military force, which is definitely not the Kryn dynasty, which Kaldax belongs to.
Yikes. Okay.
I could try to, like, stealth my way into, I don't know, the laundry tent and steal a couple of their owl the robes.
I mean, yeah, if we can get some, that could definitely help us, because from what you described, it doesn't really seem like it's going to be easy to stealth in.
We could pretend that we were like, lost and, like, seek... Do we know anything about them?
Like, yeah. So the Dwendalian Empire, from the very little you know of this area, they are a very, very well-established nation that sort of operates on the western side of the continent. You know that they have a human king who rules over them. You know that they're really into specific religious structure and, like, so it's a very structured society, not necessarily evil in of itself. Like,
austere.
Yeah. But, you know, they very intensely dislike the Kryn dynasty and are currently at war.
Yeah, I don't think we want to make our presence really known to these people. There's a very good chance that they kidnapped this guy and he's just in there somewhere.
Yeah, and Saya, you would have guessed that there are probably about 50 guards altogether at this camp.
Okay, yeah.
If we can get a uniform, it'd be nice to, because if he is their captive, they're going to recognize him by what he's wearing and stuff. But if he's just some guy wearing the uniform, it might be easier to get him out later. So if we can at least get one and then sneak ourselves in, it's not a bad plan. Hopefully that laundry tent has a sign. We'll just we'll follow the smell of soap.
This way.
There you go. Into it.
So... what's the plan, though?
All right, so can we do invisibility? Do we have enough magic to do that? I don't have that, personally.
You could do yourself and two other people?
Including myself?
Yes. So one person couldn't go with you.
Well, we could polymorph the other person.
You could polymorph the other person if you wanted. Break out all the steps.
Oh, yeah. I have my wand of polymorph. And, yeah, who wants to be an animal?
Kara's like, as soon as, like, you kind of, like, mentioned the wand of polymorph, Kara's like, oh, turn me into, like, a rhinoceros, and then I can cause a distraction while you all go get the robes.
Kara, that sounds so cool, but also pretty much exactly the opposite of what Valerius told us to do.
Exactly. I don't do stealth, so let me do what I do best. As a cool animal, and then you guys do all the stealthing.
We could, or we could do, like, a beetle.
Like a rhinoceros beetle?
A cat, I mean, that would be the most instantly stealthy thing you could become.
All right, Kara, you make the decision. What would you, what, there you go.
Yeah, let's do a rhino.
This is... horrible plan.
This is so good.
This is the best. Don't worry. Yep. So I am a black rhinoceros.
Black rhinoceros. All right. So, all right. I feel like the wand of polymorph, because since it's attuned, right? I feel like whatever bond you and I have, the magic would kind of like be some kind of aura or extension of that.
Mm.
I feel like, cool. You know, like sparklers.
Like, yes.
Fourth of July sparklers. I feel like it's like delightful and fireworky and sparkly. So I feel like whenever I bust that wand of a horrible looking wand of polymorph, which really
It's got a dead toad, petrified toad strapped to it.
These like sparkly shit like starts flying out, and it like dusts your like red hair and everything. And as it kind of looks like it should be burning it starts the transformation.
Whoa! Yeah. And then Kara starts to twist and like change and grow like these bulbous plates as your companion just becomes this giant creature with a horn just standing in the middle of this flatland scenery. There you are, Kara.
Immediately eating grass.
Yeah. You find like a nasty, like shriveled patch, and you're just chewing it.
So I turn to the other groups, and I'm like, "All right, guys, I'm gonna have to be concentrating on this. So I'm gonna, whatever happens, I'm gonna not talk or do much." So, and then I held out my hands because it's a touch spell. We're gonna put our hands like in a huddle, you know, like the go team. Mm-hmm. the yes. situation because I have to touch you both, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I got two arms. Anyway.
This is more fun.
Invisibility spell.
Heck yeah.
Go, go, gadget invisibility.
Go, go, gadget invisibility.
So, Kara, tell me about this this distraction. Tell me how... Tell me how this is gonna work. Please. Thank you.
So... Soye had said that the scaffolding was, like, up on this mountain and over at the cave.
Yeah.
So Kara would try to maneuver to, like, cut into the camp as close to... Actually, probably, because we were trying to get outfits first. So probably towards, like, the center of it where a lot of, like, the bigger tents are.
Yeah.
And we'll just, like, start just running in.
Okay, yeah.
And tossing her big rhino head around, trying to, like, uplift tents and stuff.
Yeah, so you come, like charging into this clearing. You, like, do a sharp turn, and you see, like, this campsite, you know, that sprawls maybe, like, 60 by 60 feet. You know, there are, like, five or six of these tents, and people just kind of walking about. And as you, like, kick up dust, and, you know, like, this giant black rhinoceros comes around the corner, guards are like, what? They look at each other like, are you seeing? Like, what? And then you just start to charge towards them. And you see guards, like, start kind of, like, taking out swords and, like, looking at each other like, what? Like, so what's your first target in camp? There's, like, four smaller tents. And then there's, like, that larger tent that's being guarded currently. And then there's, like, kind of carts, like, that have ore and other things in them. There's, like, packs that maybe have, I don't know, like, blasting sticks or shovels, all kinds of stuff.
She would go after the carts full of ore and start to, like, try and, like, kick them down with her rhino feet or, like, in charge at them.
Yeah. Okay. So while Kara's doing that, what's everybody else up to?
I guess, yeah, when everybody's properly occupied, well, because it's not like sand, is it? Like, our footprints wouldn't be crazy visible, or would they?
No, it's sort of like loose, gravelly rock.
Okay.
Shame. Yeah.
I think as, like, tents are being upturned and stuff, we're looking for extra uniforms and stuff like that.
Sure. Go. So there are, like, the four, like, smaller tents, and then there is this large, like, tent that the two guards in front of it have now, like, kind of moved into the center here to, like, help. Everybody seems to, like, not know what to do because it's not like the rhino is attacking anyone. So they're all, like, like, holding their swords, like, towards it. So which tent are you trying to look in?
Probably one of the small ones. I don't think they're heavily guarding uniforms. Probably an important person. So
yeah, so you kind of, like, creep around and you poke your head into one of these tents here. And it looks like sort of a mess hall area. So you see, like, lots of bins, you know, with different, like, water at varying levels of soapiness, and lots of, like, dirty cups and canteens, like, shoved kind of in this bucket, with these very, like, rustic tables and chairs set up here. And you do see that in one corner there's, like, a washboard area that has, like, a bunch of, like, drying racks laid out of all these, like, once dusty clothes kind of lined up here.
Way to go, Farrah.
Thank you. I called my nose. Yeah, I'm just going to go and just, like, is there anyone in the tent still, or did they all run out to the right?
No, everybody's, like, running out to be like, what is happening in the center?
Yeah.
The only guards who seem to be, like, really sticking to their post are the one, like, in the tunnel that are kind of, like, looking down sort of on the balcony, like, at the situation below.
All right. Yeah, then I'll just try to, with everybody else, grab one for each of us plus one.
Yeah.
Duh.
You can grab some, like, nice, you know, they're damp instead of sopping wet.
Great.
I'll give you that.
Thank you. Just sweating a really hard day's work, you know? All right.
Yeah.
And then I guess I'm just gonna make sure everybody's got what they need and we can run back out to see what's happening right now.
Yeah. Are the guards by the white tent, if we could see it, are they still holding their post or are they distracted?
Yeah, the guards by the white tent have also, like, kind of joined this mass in the center here. So, like, as you're exiting this mess hall tent, and all the guards are just kind of, like, doing this, like, around the rhino at this point, you see a woman steps out from one of these smaller tents here. And unlike everyone else, she's not in this red uniform. She's in these very fine, like, gold and silver, like, braided robes, clearly very wealthy, this half-elf woman. And she's holding a book under one arm and kind of pushes her spectacles up and speaks very quietly, yet with such power that everyone immediately, like, stops. And she's, "What's going on here?" And all the guards are like, "Hmm?" And then, Kara, I'm going to need you to make a wisdom saving throw for me.
Okay. Oh, okay. 23.
Okay, so she flicks a hand, like, at Rhinoceros Kara, clearly expecting something to happen, and you, Kara, feel this magical wave sort of move over you, but you manage to push it off, and she sort of frowns and says, "Attack that creature. It is not a normal beast." And we're gonna need to roll some initiative.
What could go wrong, guys?
Ooh. 9.
Ugh. 11.
13.
All right, yeah. So the lady is just, like, surveying this situation right now, and she's like, "All right, well, let's try something else." And, Kara, I need you to make another wisdom saving throw for me.
Fantastic. Damn, 23 again.
Oh, shoot. Oh, man. So with Polymorph, you don't have to roll with the stats of the Rhino, or are those the stats with the Rhino?
I'll look at Polymorph in particular.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But while that is happening, Invisible Cadre, you see that now, like, this woman has stepped forward and the soldiers are clearly intent on attacking the rhino. Are you going to engage in the combat and blow your cover or try and do something else?
Not yet. For me.
Okay. All right. Then we come to Arnadel. So, what would you like to do?
I keep on focusing. Although, can I use my detect magic eldritch sight?
Yes, you can use your eldritch invocation.
Okay, so I'm just going to look at her and see if I can get a read on what kind of magic-y person she is.
Sure, yeah. Kind of blink open, and as you look at her, one, she has a lot of magic items on her person, and two, you see a glowing arcane, like, core within her. Like, this is a very powerful spellcaster standing in front of you. We're talking, like, archmage status.
Is she human?
She's half-elf.
Oh, okay.
You also, with your detect magic, even from here, you would see that there is something so freaking magical in that tunnel. Like, you can't see what it is, but, like, this, like, gold artifact aura is just, like, pouring out.
Like, it's, like, beam, like...
Yeah.
Okay, hi,
it's
demon.
Like, hello! I'm here! It's coming, that gets, coming at you.
While I'm here, I'm going to take a quick cursory glance to see if maybe there's any other notable things that I should ping in the back of my mind.
Sure. So coming from that white tent that's close by, you can tell that there's another spellcaster in there. Not as powerful as the woman in front of you.
And they haven't, and that glow hasn't moved very much with all the commotion.
No, they're, in fact, they've stayed perfectly still.
Oh, noted. I'm like, elven magic. So I'm going to make all that. And then with my telepathy ability, I'm going to silently communicate this to everyone and just be like, bing, 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 bong, bing. I'm staying put, not moving.
Oh my God. You hear bing, bong, bing, bong in your head, everybody. All right. Sweet. And then we go down to Saye. What you up to?
Well, I think I'd like to try to create another distraction. So I pull some of the guards away from Kara, and hopefully Kara will just keep fucking running away. But...
Yeah. Oh, also, Kara, what did you get, by the way? Was it going to be the 23?
It was a 19. But no, yes, my stats do change. All my mental stats do change as well.
Yeah, it's like you're... Because you have this brain... You're like so hard. 19 is still just enough nice. To make that save. So you're still Rhino, just kicking the hell around. Oh my god. okay, and then I'm sorry. So what are you trying to do for this distraction?
Because I'm still invisible. I want to just like poke.
So if you attack or use a spell, your invisibility will drop.
Oh, really? I thought that was if Arnadel broke their concentration. Mm-mm,
it's anyone who's invisible.
Would you consider my elemental attunement of just being able to create an element casting a spell?
I would say so, yes.
Okay, fine.
But nice flex.
I mean, I can run away fast. I could zoom off. I'm got that monk speed.
You could do anything you want, baby. You just tell me what it is.
Okay. Whatever tent is closest to, like, the back, like, one on the outskirts of the camp, I'm going to set that one on fire and then run away.
Okay, so you want to drop your invisibility and set it on fire?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the one closest to the edge is actually that big white tent that was recently guarded. So you run out of there. How are you setting it on fire?
I'm just putting my hand up against it and then, like, lighting about, like, a fistful of fire. And hopefully it catches.
Okay, yeah, so you do that. Are you trying to conceal yourself, like you're waiting till you're around the tent?
Yeah, I'm certainly not standing in front of it. I'm like at the back of the tent, probably low to the ground, just like...
Yeah, as you do. So you catch this tent on fire and you like book it around the corner here. So the invisibility drops and you're just like running across the gray dirt here. And then, yeah, just you hear some confused, like, is that on fire? What is happening? Like, everybody is just so confused. Okay, and then Kara, what you up to right now?
Now that someone is clearly taking some hostile actions towards her, she is going to turn and use her action to disengage and then run away out of the camp.
Okay, so yep, you go, and how far can you go as a rhinoceros?
40 feet.
Okay, so just stomp out of here, and the guards part, because they're, like, don't want any part of this, you know, so you're bursting off, like, into the sand here, okay, and then, Farrah, what are you doing as you see Kara makes a break for it? And a tent is on fire now.
Okay, still from, like, the backside that, like, is kind of out of vantage point of people, can I, like, try to, like, lift the edge that's not on fire and kind of take a peek inside?
Oh, yeah, inside that white tent. Yeah, you can definitely move around, you know, with this bundle, like, of clothes in your arms. You go and, like, and look up. You see that inside this tent, there are, like, a couple crates and, like, barrels maybe for storage. But the central pole here has a person that is bound with ropes and tied to this pole here. And you look and you see it is the face of a dark elf dressed in just, like, a loose shirt and pants. Everything else seems to have been taken.
I'm dying to ask how hot he is, because loose pants and shirt. I bet.
Oh, he's very hot. Though he does look like he's been roughed up quite a bit. So he's got like a swollen eye and like some scratches and like, you know, he looks like he's been through a little bit of hell.
Okay. Can I try to use my action to like use a dagger to cut the rope?
Yeah, sure. So you ran over to that tent, looked under, saw him. And you begin to saw through the ropes, and he sort of like looks up and he's like,
I'm just gonna whisper.
I'm sorry, who are you? And he's looking around, you're invisible, so he's like,
as I'm sawing, and I'm just like, come with me if you want to live.
And that's, you know what? I'll take it after the kind of day I've had. And he goes and, you know, helps kind of like tug apart. Can I ask who sent you, mysterious invisible one? Or are we just going to do it like this?
Valerius from the Sisters of Sorrow.
Oh, interesting. All right.
And I just like drop one of the like outfits that I have on the floor, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, this way. And I kind of like hold the edge of the tent open.
He goes, oh, Dwendalian red. Well, we're stooping to this. He goes, and like, you know, he kind of like slumps forward after being tied to this pole. You have no idea how long he's been here, but he's sort of like, you know, cracks like his shoulders and then like kind of throws on this jacket and like starts, you know, he's like ripping off his pants and he's like, well, woo. Company of strangers. Okay, here we go.
Is it the tent on fire or is it getting hot in here?
I don't know. You're invisible. I hope it's getting hot in here, though. and so he puts on this outfit, and he's like, okay, but we can't leave until we get to the tomb. You do understand that, right? And he's...
Yeah, I think we had a plan, and it was very loud, and I think now we kind of go away and then maybe recoup and come back.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, and he goes and like kind of pokes his head out. He's like, what the hell is that? Okay. Great. Did you find my staff?
No.
Well, then, fine. And he like looks at the chaos that's unfolding here, and you see he kind of like holds his hands together and like parts them, and he begins to focus on like the air in front of him as you see this shape that sort of looks like a D12, actually, that begins to like appear in his hands here as he like looks out on the chaos around this whole clearing. And then he like stretches his hands out and forward. And as he closes his eyes, this blast of energy moves out and kind of enfolds this space. And you see as this happens here, everything stops. It's like time in this area in front of him just ceases to move forward. People like slow mid motion. You see like, you know, that like flies in the air, like just staying in this place. So everyone is affected except for Saye, who's run out of here. Kara, you're like just on the edge of this. Like you feel your muscles kind of slow down for a moment. Arnadel, you're affected as well. And Farah, you're fine as you see this happen. And he kind of like... Okay. And then, like, starts booking it out of there.
Okay. I don't know how much, if we're still doing turn order, but I would...
So you have one whole reaction, like, one whole cycle here of turns you'll get to take before time starts again.
Okay. Then, if he's running off, then I'm going to break my... invisibility and send a message to Arnadel that basically says, I got our guy, meet up outside and near the scaffolding where it's hidden.
Well, and this thought kind of like travels out to this area, and Arnadel, you don't hear anything. Time has stopped for you. So in a moment, your message will reach. So yeah, Farah, you kind of move following him. And then we come back up to this woman who, like, Farah, as you're, like, running to, like, get out of the camp here, you see it's so odd how everything has just stopped in this space. And then you catch a flicker of movement as this woman, she kind of, like, you see her fingers sort of, like, twitch. And she's, like, moving very slowly as she's, like, trying to reach for her staff. She's the only one doing any kind of movement as she's, like, seeming to resist this spell. But she still just can't quite make it to her staff in time here. And then, Arnadel, why don't you go ahead and give me a constitution saving throw, please. To see if you can break through this. Magic. This special magic.
19.
Okay. Arnadel, your brain, like, activates, and you realize that you're frozen in place. And you're trying to, like, think through the possibility. You can see everything around you, but you can't move your body. So it's like your brain wakes up, but there's nothing you can do about it.
It's like sleep paralysis.
Yeah, it's very, very weird feeling. And you're like, this is some high-level magic that I just got affected by.
So uncomfortable.
And Saye, so as you're like booking it out there, you see coming from around the corner a drow man just running after you in kind of like ill-fitting like red uniform. He's like just chucking it down there. He's like pulling on one boot as he's kind of running after you.
I can outrun this. I can outrun this guy. I run.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. So are you just, you look back, you see him, you're like, oh no, like,
gonna keep going. See you later, buddy.
All right, so you're just like booking it as fast as you can away.
Yeah, I mean, if does the guy look like he wants to come after me, or he's just running away?
Yeah, he seems to see you, and he like gives you a wave, and then like starts like running after you.
What do you want?
Valerius, with the Sisters of Sar, I don't know, I'm being chased by an invisible person. I assume they were with you.
Oh, you're Kaldax?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Then I'll stop running.
Okay. And he, like, hobbles, like, forward. Clearly he's been, like, beaten and, like, is injured. And he's, like, catching up with you as this is happening. All right, and then Kara, go ahead and give me that constitution saving throw.
Let's see what my rhino stats are.
Your rhino brain does for you.
Eight.
So you have no idea that you've been frozen in time. I don't know. What's a thought that's going through your rhino brain? What do rhinos miss? Like, what do they talk about in their brain holes?
I could really use some birds. I've got an itch on my right haunch.
Oh, birds. So you're thinking about birds and just unaware of the situation entirely. All right. And then, Farah, we come back around to you. So as you're, like, running away from this scenario here, you see time all of a sudden begins to move forward again. And you hear this, like, stream of cursing just coming from this woman who's just like, "He got away! He got away! After them! After them!"
Yeah, she's just gonna... I'm just gonna use my action to dash. And I'm just gonna be like, run, 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 run.
Run, 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 run.
Try to basically find, like, a turn in one of these hills to kind of become out of sight.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're kind of in two camps here, like people who did already kind of get away, and then we have a rhino and we have Arnadel who are still like in the camp area. So we can kind of move out of initiative as you all tell me, how are you getting away from this situation?
Kara is definitely just running and trying to kick up as much dust and sand as possible behind her and head towards back, you know, where she originally started from, hoping to find her companions there so that they can stop the spell.
Yeah, absolutely. Arnadel, what are you up to? You're still kind of just in the middle of this camp site, still invisible.
I'm going to just like take a quick like whip around, because while I was frozen, slowed.
Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, a message reaches you.
Oh.
Right now from Farah as time resumes.
It's like one of those things where it like comes kind of like speed, like quickly, and then slows down as like catches up with time.
It's like when your phone is broken and then all of a sudden you get all of the texts you've gotten from like the past 3 days that you haven't seen. It's like bing, bing, bing. You were like, oh, God.
So I get that. I understand what happened. I know what.
Yeah, because your brain was awake during all of this, so.
So I'm going to, like, whip around and, like, while still invisible, like, use detect magic again to just kind of, like, see if I could get, like, I feel like my friend's magical registers are something I would recognize, right?
Yeah. You're familiar with their
aura.
Signatures.
So I look around. I'm trying to see where everybody is. I'm assuming I can kind of see where the commotion is headed.
Yeah, you can really only see Kara at this point, who kind of, like, takes a left-hand turn. You're not sure where Saye and Farah went.
Shit.
They were just suddenly gone.
Well, I'm going to just, like, book it after Kara. Just, like, one of those, like, quick, I'm going to, like, tiptoe run. Have you ever tried to silently run? Anybody?
Yeah.
Not successfully.
Sure. After the flag, when
just
we're, like,
a little delicate elf run.
A little delicate elf friend.
Yeah. So they're, I mean, it's definitely easy to mask your run here because, so the rhino is kind of curling off to the left here, and then like 10 guards are like peeling after the rhino, and you can follow the 10 guards that are going after the rhino, whereas a bunch of other guards now are like trying to put out this tent, and this woman is like trailing along after like these 10 guards towards the rhino to kind of like observe what's happening here.
I want to steer clear of her.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, she's like, she's crazy. Like, that's not something I'm trying to tangle with. So I'm just going to kind of like give her a wide breadth, like really wide. So she can't even like, I don't want to come up on her blip whatsoever. So I'm just going to kind of like go off towards the cavern because I'm assuming that's where everybody else is headed.
Sure. Yeah. So you kind of like part ways here. And Kara, all of a sudden, you feel your shape begin to change as like the magic that's surrounding you just like pulls and kind of falls away. So you're like, you're running and all of a sudden you have four legs and then you kind of like stumble as you have like two again and you're trying and you've come back to your dwarven form as you feel the spell around you has just been unraveled. And you're running and you hear from behind you, "Stop, I don't mean you any harm. I just wish to ask you some questions."
As Kara kind of gets back to her regular humanoid gait, and she's like so tired. She's been running for so long. It just kind of finally just stops and kind of slumps her shoulders and turns around and, okay.
And this, the half-elf woman is behind you, and she's, like, running. You know, she's lifted up her robe. She's clearly not used to, like, running around in nature. So she also looks a little bit frustrated as she's, like, looking at you down on the ground. She's like, "Perhaps we can start over. I do not mean you any harm. I simply wish to know what you are doing invading this place and our business. If it offends you in some way, I'm sorry. My name is Lady Vess. What is yours?"
"My name is Kara Brynhilda of Clan Umbus Ambusunder, and I am very offended that you are excavating ancient ruins of my rich dwarven culture."
Well, my dear, I do apologize for any duress you think I may be causing you, but these are by no means dwarven ruins, and in fact, this territory, all of this is property of the Dwendalian Empire for whom I represent. Certainly, you have heard of me."
"Uh-huh, and who do you think was here before you? Dwarven people whose..."
Go ahead and make me a deception check, Kara, as you're like an environmentalist, like dwarf trying to make this case. I love this, by the way. This is good.
She's like, "Oh my god, how do I tie up this woman?" It's like, "Aha." So that is a 19.
Okay, yeah, so she's just listening to you very patiently. "I see. I am the Archmage of Antiquities. It is my business to learn about other cultures and all things that ail them. So perhaps we can return to the camp and discuss this in a more calm fashion. We have refreshments. I would love to understand a little bit more about what exactly you're doing here."
Kara definitely doesn't see a way out of this. So she's like, "I would like that very much."
Wonderful. And she kind of looks at the other guards like behind her, like, "Do we keep our weapons out?" And she like sort of makes a lower them gesture and they sheath their weapons. And she does the thing where she like walks sort of behind you and kind of puts a hand not like on your back, but you feel yourself like being ushered. You suddenly feel very trapped somehow as she kind of leads you back into this camp to discuss your environmental concerns. And so the rest of you, so Arnadel, you kind of see Kara being like led off into this camp as like you're making your way towards the others. I think Farah and Saye, you have this companion now who's kind of running by you. What are you doing? Are you kind of like trying to find a hiding place or keep running? Or
yeah.
Make me some either like perception or survival, something to find like a good hiding spot.
16.
18.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so between the two of you, like, you managed to find, like, a great, like, rocky kind of overhang, like, the small cave space that you can definitely duck into that would avoid notice by people just giving it a cursory pass. So Arnadel, Saye, Farah, and now this dark elf who's been following you around, you're kind of shoved inside this little cave, and he's like, well, that probably could have gone a little bit better than it did, but I appreciate the rescue.
No problem. Now we just have to figure out how to get Kara and this artifact. What is this artifact? I'm Farah, by the way.
Kaldex. It's a pleasure to meet Farah. You were the one who freed me. Thank you.
Happy to help. So
your voice does not do you justice.
Thank you. Damn. But still...
okay.
She flushes a little.
This is a passive aggressor.
And Saye.
Arnadel, are you still invisible?
Arnadel is still invisible.
We don't even know you're there.
Yeah. I'm just listening. I'm just like, this mofo is passive aggressive. Are these compliments or are they insults? Arnadel's
Farrah
just like.
Definitely thinks that they're compliments.
Yeah.
Saye is probably like, pacing back and forth, writhing her hands together, worried sick about Kara and like leaving her behind. Arnie, do you think you could send her a...
Arnie's invisible. Nobody knows.
Oh, we don't know that you're here? Jesus.
And I'm keeping it that way for now. I kind of don't like it. I'm like...
I like creeping on my friends. I know.
Well, I guess Saye can relate to that. But,
Yeah, for sure. If there was anyone. Saye!
Well... Dang it. Well, then she's going to say out loud, God, I wish Arnie was here. Wait, Farah, you can speak telepathically too, can't you?
Only 120 feet. I guess I can. Yeah, I have to point my finger towards the creature do it. So.
Yeah, well, Kaldex will kind of like look at you both and be like, well, I'm not sure how much Valerius told you, but... I am, well, sort of an archaeologist by trade, and this site was very rudely interrupted by the Dwendalians, who went ahead and sent one of their Cerberus cronies here to interfere with everything going on. It is imperative that you get me into that tunnel, and I get into that tomb.
Okay.
And I'm not leaving until that happens.
Fair enough. We gotta turn back to get Kara anyway, so we may as well pick up a fancy artifact while we're there, I guess.
Do you have any bright ideas about how to take them on? I mean, the Cerberus Assembly aren't people to mess with. They're the most powerful archmages, well, certainly in this country.
You know, we're kind of a run-in with a rhino sort of crowd.
I saw that.
Well, I mean, I think first things first, you're looking a little rough. Could you use a heel? And I hold out my hand to him.
That would be fantastic. I've had the crap beat out of me for days at this point.
Awesome. So I'm going to put my hand on my pendant and my other hand on his bicep, and then I'm going to cast a fourth level Cure Wounds on him.
Yay!
Boop. 5 + 7 = 12 + 1 = 13 + 6 = 19 + 5 = 24.
Yeah, and as you like cast this on him, you see a lot of like the wounds on his face in particular, you know, begin to close up and bruises sort of like go away, and he takes a deep breath and he's like, thanks, That's much better. Did you all happen to see any other of my party, or they probably killed him?
Oof, grim. No, we pretty much ran in with a rhino and then grabbed you and then ran away. So
Great.
You've got a staff you're looking for, two staff, people, artifacts. What happened?
I got a piece of intelligence that something of interest to my people might be buried here. And sure enough, I got to this place. We were digging out this tomb that predates the age of Arcanum. It's one of probably the only surviving sites of its kind, and it's still intact with all of the seals and everything. And I think I was so close to getting it open, and if I can get inside, who knows what might be inside. It might even be a Luxon beacon, for all I know. It's an incredible find, and of course, before I could get the door open, somehow these Dwendalians heard about it. They showed up, killed my party, kept me alive, hoping that I could open the seal, and here we are. They've been trying to open it for days, but, well, Lady Vess is not as clever as she thinks she is.
Sick burn. A Luxon beacon? Is that what you called it? You said it might be a what?
You're not from around here, are you?
I want to do an Arcana check, or history?
Arcana? Either way.
That's going to be... I have a higher one. No, they're the same. They're both the same. That's a 22.
Sure. You know, you don't know very much about Wildmount or anything really happening here. The word Luxon came up like in a religious context for the Kryn dynasty, but you're not really sure. Unfortunately, other than that, you just don't know. Yeah, and he's like, well, the Luxon beacons are sacred objects to my people, to the Kryn dynasty. There are only four that have been discovered, but surely there are more in the world. And if we can take those back, that would mean much more power for my people. We could grow, we could spread across the land, we could finally beat the Dwendalian Empire, liberate people from their tyranny. The possibilities are endless. If this tomb has one, which I think it does, we need to get it back, and we certainly cannot let it fall into the hands of the Cerberus Assembly.
Okay.
Well, my MO is typically to try and work our way around any kind of guards or things like that, avoid as much conflict as possible, and, I don't know, maybe just knock people out. Get our way down there, get the thing, hit up Valerius, and then leave.
Well, I mean, now that you've sprung me, they're certainly going to be on high alert, so I'm not sure how much of an option that's going to be.
Robes! You got them robes, Farrah?
Oh, yeah. And I take out, like, these damp, sort of, like, musty at this point, and, like, outfits, and I just kind of, like, fan them out, and I'm like, cute outfits for our, you know, sneaking in. So.
Okay. He's like, I just need to get in that tunnel and get close. Do you have the magic capability to do that and then perhaps fend off everyone else? Or I don't think any amount of clothes swapping is going to help us at this point, to be quite honest with you all.
Well, if need be, of course, we're going to protect you. We're going to protect each other, too. So, yes, we can handle whatever comes at us.
Great. And we should probably move soon before they do something horrible to your friend.
Not a bad plan. Well, if you can sneak in, we gotta find Arnadel, because she's the person who made us invisible, which is mighty fucking handy.
Great. Okay. Did they grab her too?
I don't know. I sent her a message and let her know that we got you before we left. But I guess we're going to have to keep an eye out for her.
All right.
Arnadel does not trust the situation at all. Like, she's like, I don't know. Sounds sketchy on both ends. So she's like, I feel like it's going to be in the party's best interest if I'm, like, unbeknownst. So I'm going to silently follow you guys.
if right. we're... I I know we're like kind of in a hurry, but I mean, I don't feel comfortable just leaving here without giving Arnie some time to come see us. I don't know if we're prepared with just the three of us going in there. The reason we get as far as we do is because we're a group, we're a crew.
As soon as you say this, even though it's completely telepathic, you're going to hear this like, I'm here.
That's so creepy.
I'm saying it. She's like trying to whisper, but like it totally doesn't, she doesn't need to whisper at all because it's fucking telepathic. But she's like telepathically whispering like, I'm here. Just like, I'm gonna pretend like I'm not here. Don't make a face. I'm here. Just pretend like, just be okay with the fact that I'm not here, but I'm here.
Oh my God. So he's making some faces, and you're not sure if like she's having an aneurysm or just like trying to hold in a fart. But
I say it to Farrah too.
Saya's still doing it and looking to Farrah like, is this happening for you too?
Farrah turns to Saya and just kind of cocks her head to the side and gives like just this big like fake ass smile, and she's like, well, you know, let's see, what else do I have in my back pocket? I'm really good at healing and big explosions, but do you have any means to sneak yourself in?
I mean, I could get there, but I would need you all to keep them off me until I can get that gate down and get in there. It's not going to be stealthy.
All right.
I'm a big fan of the big boom. You know, the more Dwendalians we can take out, the better.
Yeah, I don't really have a foot in your altercations.
We're coming in like the UN here. We're trying to not do any damage, not piss any people off, or at least too many people off. So, like I said, we got your front and your back. let's get on with this. I think we'll be okay. We need to find our people along the way, but we'll be good.
And Kara, let's bounce back to you for a moment. So you have been led into this, like, mess hall area, and now all of these guards are, like, you know, writing things in the camp and, like, getting order restored. They've put out this, like, fire that broke out on top of the tent. And this woman who's introduced herself, Archmage Lady Vess, she kind of seats you down in this mess hall. And so I can't help but notice you're not really from here.
Yeah, that's because I come from underground.
Wonderful. You know, I have many friends who are dwarves. And in fact, dwarves are a key and integral part of our civilization. They've done many, many grand things, but your accent, it's a little bit strange. What part of the continent do you hail from?
This one, this mountain, which you are excavating.
So you have others of your kind nearby?
Obviously.
And yet they let you come alone into a dangerous situation.
Well, you know how it is with grand councils and politics. And, you know, I was the only one who is willing to try and stand up and do what's right.
Ah, so have the dwarves been aware this whole time that this tomb resides here?
Yeah, we're the ones that built it.
Interesting. See, my friend, this is the first time you've caught yourself in a lie. For this temple certainly predates your society.
Oh, maybe from your human elven centrist perspective. Sure.
So, I find myself in a quandary. What to do with you? I mean, I could just kill you instantly, but that seems like a terrible waste.
That also sounds very boring.
Yes, something useful to tell me or to contribute, perhaps as to why you are interested in our mage friend, something else. Maybe I could stay my hand.
Kara lets out a big sigh. As you said, I'm not from around these parts, so I have nothing to offer you. Nothing you would be interested in. You are clearly very powerful yourself, and anything that you want, you probably already have. So, do what you will. Send a poor stranger off into this savannah. What's it to you?
So you refuse to tell me why you're here to free Caldex.
Who's Caldex?
I see. Well, I suppose then our conversation is done, and I shall have to decide what to do with you at a later date. How unfortunate. Let's see. You seem to be a fan of polymorphing, so how about this? I would like you to go ahead and make me a... saving throw. True polymorph. Okay, that's going to be a wisdom saving throw.
19.
So you try to go against the will of this creature in front of you as you feel this magic begin to stretch your body in an all too familiar way at this point, but it's a feeble attempt as you feel the magic just come over you once again, and you find yourself in the form of a tiny little white mouse all of a sudden, and she kind of produces like this, she reaches around like a glass mason jar that she kind of puts over you on this table. And she, you see, you know, she leans down and her big old eyes looking at you. She's like, you know, if you change your mind and want to talk, we can just do this over and over again. And I can think of something a lot more creative for next time, too. You just caught me at a bad time. She like kind of taps on the glass and it like rocks your tiny body as this loud tapping noise surrounds you. And she exits the tent. The rest of you, what's the plan? What are we doing?
I'm going to reveal myself.
Caldax goes, ah, I didn't know you were there.
Arnadel's still very socially awkward. She's just like, I don't know. This is really nice. It's easy. I kind of want to be invisible more frequently, to be honest. Hi. I've been following.
Hello.
I don't have that much magical zhuzh, but I do have this sick wand. She pulls out the frog, nasty frog, and she's like, I don't know, you guys want to like turn into something less obvious than ourselves and just like,
how many more times can you use that thing?
A lot.
Yeah, it's got a lot of charges on it.
It renews at dawn. I haven't used it for months.
You all seem to be new at this, so perhaps I propose something.
Sure, why didn't you come up with...
Why don't we get to the edge of camp? I will get myself into that cavern. I will start working on the gate. You hold them off me. Once I have the gate down, I'll reach in, get what I need, and then we can teleport out of here.
How'd you get caught?
How did I get caught? Clearly somebody informed the Dwendalians that I was here. This is... technically their territory. So we technically shouldn't be excavating here. But also, this territory will soon belong to the Kryn Dynasty when we defeat the Dwendalians. And let's be honest, ancient history belongs to all of us.
I can agree with you on that, sir.
So how about it? Because I say we get started before Vess does whatever she's planning.
All right.
Well, we need to get that report to Valeria, so I guess we're on your side.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Now let's go. Actually, you have any more of that healing in your back pocket? I could use a little bit more.
Greedy. She will go.
He's got like a swollen eye.
We just met. Yeah, I'll give him... I can do another 48.
Heck yeah.
All right, 8, 10, 14, another 19 points.
Whew. Yeah, and he, you know, looks significantly better as he, again, like, just gets kind of ready, like, loose. He's like, okay, like, bouncing on his heels. Well, shall we do this?
We're wearing the robes, right?
If you want to be.
Stolen robes. I definitely am, and I also, underneath that robe, I am wearing my cloak of Mountback.
Nice.
Yeah, just in case.
just in case you got to get away from the situation. Yeah. All right. Absolutely. So if you all don't stop him, he's going to walk out of this cave and like just head right back to the edge of that camp.
All right. So I guess we're doing another distraction and killing a bunch of people because it seems like there's not going to be a way to stop this. So.
And Caldex gives you a big thumbs up.
Kara's like, you look less cute by the second. I'm just kind of like waves him off towards the cave.
Oh, don't be like that.
Arnadel's just like
shaking her head.
Shaking her head in silence. Like, man.
He's
too bad I only have two more spell slots. Otherwise, I'd just go back to being invisible.
Yeah. Ew, this is lame. All right. So we're going to go ahead and roll up on this camp here. Unless anyone stops me, which I don't think they're doing.
I guess battle royale.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that because we're going to have to go up against Archmage. What's her name? I don't want to do that.
He gets to the edge of camp and you see a little panel of like arcane energy kind of shimmers in front of him. And you hear the sound of a creaking door as he is gone and bamps forward somewhere else. And as this happens, you know, he kind of like stuck around and whoop. And yeah, so all of you basically have a surprise round at this point to do whatever you're doing. So let's go ahead and roll initiative one more time just to determine how this is going to go, including you, Kara.
Ooh, natural 20.
21
Ooh.
For me.
19. Okay.
Ooh,
4.
Where was this before? and I'm going to cast Mage Armor on myself as we're approaching.
Makes sense. Very cool. Arnadel, you are first.
well, I'm just gonna Eldritch Blast, whatever the fuck is closest, or whatever the, I would like to Eldritch Blast.
So there are about 50 guards that are kind of milling around in the central area. You see, like, 4 of them are posted up specifically by that mine entrance up above. You don't see Lady Vess right now. And there are a melange of other, like, carts and, like, rocks and, like, packs and stuff around here. So what would you like to aim at specifically?
The 3 closest guards.
All right. Go ahead. Roll to hit. I'll say roll with advantage, too, because they certainly are not expecting that.
First one's 18.
I will say an 18 will hit.
Okay. Second one's 17. And the... third one was a 3.
But with advantage, so re-roll that one. See if you hit it.
5.
Okay, nope.
But my spell attack bonus is, that would make it a 14.
14's just not enough to hit them.
Okay.
So, and go ahead and roll your damage.
14.
How do you want to murder 2 of these guards?
Heck! I'm going to stick with the firecracker theme I've got going tonight. It's going to be like that, like that screech that those... stupid fireworks make like in the middle of the night because that's the only time you really hear mm-hmm. them when you're trying to go to sleep. It's gonna be that.
Yeah.
And when it hits, it firecracker explodes.
Yeah. These 2 guards just like burst apart in front of you, and a bunch of the other guards like turn and are like, what is like this whole day? They're all just like, ah! But this time they're a little bit more ready for it. Like, they already all have their weapons in hand and turn to face you, Arnadel, as the only target like that they can see currently at this point. And then Farah, so you now have the attention of 48 guards.
Sweet. So I'm going to just kind of like deep sigh and like walk out from my cover, and I'm going to cast Sickening Radiance. It's just this sickly green ball that's 60 feet across, just kind of
holy crap
goes down upon them, and they all have to make constitution saving throws. If they make it, they don't take any damage, but if they do, then they're going to take 4d10.
Okay. I'm going to roll for groups of 10 because... wow. Okay. So 3 of the group, so 30 guards rolled natural 20s. I don't know. Okay. So 3 of them rolled natural 20s and 2 groups failed.
All right. So those people are going to take 9, 14, 18, Plus 5. So 23 points of radiant damage.
To the people who failed?
Yeah.
How do you want to kill 20 people? How does that happen?
Oh, God. This is so bad.
I know.
This is like, this is murder.
Oh, my God.
This is some high-level murder.
Yeah, she just kind of like, she does it, and like the ball almost like kind of like sluggishly and grossly goes down, and it's like watching slow motion as like a foot steps on something, and she's just like, oh god,
yeah. It's like stepping on a cockroach. It's almost worse.
Yeah.
Like just the stepping on it, and you're like, no. Yeah, all right. So Farrah just murdered 20 people who had families, children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And she just looks at, like, back at her party. She's like, we don't talk about this after today.
God, what happens to the ones who did pass? Does anything happen?
Nothing happens to them. Just if they're anybody's invisible amongst them, they're not. So.
Word. All right. And then, Saye, we move to you as 28 guards are horrified looking on what has just happened.
Yeah, I'm a little horrified myself. And I need to get myself in the headspace of what's happening right now. I wasn't prepared for so much battle.
Wholesale murder.
Yeah.
So much murder.
I'm gonna just... Is there anyone really close to me? Does anyone look like they're coming for me? Because I'm dressed in my robe.
No, at this point, I mean, they've all just, like, turned to observe what's happening here. So nobody has, like, had a chance to even run forward yet.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to go find Kara, take this opportunity to do that. But I also don't know if I should leave my ladies.
It's up to you. What you doing?
I'm going to go find Kara.
All right. So you run into this camp here. You are going to be running forward, so you will become a target for them as you run forward. Yeah. Where are you looking?
I'm going to go to the white tent. I imagine if they got anyone, it'd be there.
Yeah. So you do, you like book, you spend your movement going, you run into this tent. It's completely cleared out. There is a burnt patch on it from where you burnt it. But other than that, it just seems to be crates and barrels and stuff. All right. And then we move to my turn. My turn. So Vess. Lady Vess emerges from this tent and, like, looks at this situation, looks at the bodies around, and just kind of, like, rolls her eyes. And then, like, extends a hand towards all of you. And she is casting that. So I need everybody to make a constitution saving throw.
I'm gonna counterspell.
Ooh! Okay. All right, you need to roll. It's a 7th level. Spell slot.
Yeah, that's an 18. What do I plus? What do I add to that? Just my modifier or my spell attack?
Yeah, your spellcasting ability modifier.
Okay, so yeah, that's gonna be 23. Yeah.
Damn! And she like throws down her hand and she's like, "Why are you doing this?" She kind of like yells out to the universe as this is happening. And she's like, "Guards, just get them, I guess." And they all begin to like run forward at you all. So here we go.
Once they start their turn in it, they have to make another constitution saving
throw. Oh my
God.
Okay, I'm going to roll for the three groups again. Okay. One made it. Just one. Just one.
I'll roll for it. But,
oh my God. Farrah, you're going to murder 40 people.
I guess. 12.
D&D
16,
is wild, y'all.
26.
Wild mount. What? 26 damage.
Yep.
Yeah, you murdered 20 more people.
This doesn't feel great.
I'm going to do some praying.
Yeah, so there are 8 guards left after this happens, and they look at the devastation in front of them and throw down their weapons, and, like, they're running opposite of you, so they're running back towards, like, the cave at this point. They're like, no, thank you. Goodbye.
I think we can confidently pass this guilt off to A-hole McGee with his, "I want to bring down the baby bear." And we're like, "Dude, we're just trying to get you out of here." Our mission was you.
Thank you for the bits for murder, Chet. So the guards are spending murder their bits. Turn running now away from you, and they're running back into this, like, tunnel that's been excavated in the back wall here. And Kara, we go to you. Kara Mouse, you get to make a save.
Yay!
You get to try.
What kind of save is it again?
Wisdom saving throw.
All right.
DC 19.
That's a 13, but I'm going to use my gift of the past to reroll that.
Okay.
Come on, baby.
I'm a tiny mouse.
14. Nope. Okay. Never mind.
What are you doing in this little... How are you struggling?
She's... her little mouse fists are balled up and she's standing up on her back legs and she's pounding against the edge of the jar.
Oh my god.
And she's burying her big yellow incisors. He's like...
Yeah. Yep, you're doing your best. And as this, like, scene of calamity is kind of unfolding before you, you all suddenly feel this, like, wave of energy, like, kind of come from the mouth of this cave here. And actually, some of the guards that were running in there get, like, sort of pushed back as this happens, too. It's not something you see. It's just more of you feel as, like, something is broken or different now coming from this tunnel. And you hear this horrible screeching sound, like if metal were to tear itself apart, and the ground kind of shakes as you see the shape of something emerges from this tunnel, and you hear just like a oh god like coming from the other side.
Oh,
as you see this giant spherical thing emerge from the darkness of this tunnel, and at first it just looks like a ball, like made of like bronze, that's maybe like 15 by 15 feet like around, and it's walking, you can see, on these mechanical sort of legs out, and as the sunlight hits this thing and you see like the burnished shimmer all over it, 10 different appendages just kind of burst out of its body as you see these large, like, saws whirring on each of its hands, and all of these arms here just pop out in a very menacing way. And you hear Kaldax going, could you deal with that? Arndel, we're up to you.
Okay.
I'm so close to just grabbing his buns right out of that sphere and grabbing the rock that Valerius gave us to teleport back and be like, you're in timeout.
You don't deserve help.
Honestly, seeing the other guards, like, kind of just like, I'm kind of like, nah. Well, actually, no, what's her name? I don't know. I don't have a bad read on what's her name either. She's just kind of like, her commentary makes me kind of feel like, I don't know, but I feel like, I don't know. I look at everybody else and I'm like, what? What
do we do? You can definitely hold your turn if you'd like, or yeah, feel free to speak. It's a free action.
I'm holding my damn turn. And the way that I hold my turn is I just put my arms up like effing over it. Like, oh my God.
Okay. Then Farrah, we go to you.
Farrah's like, she's just gonna, at this point, just like drop her sickening radiance. She's like, it's making me sick at this point. And she's gonna be like, well, I don't feel bad messing up a big giant machine thing. So I'm gonna go ahead and cast Fireball on the big giant machine thing.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, this thing is so big that you can just hit it. Like, you can hit above it and it'll be fine. You don't have to hit anything on the ground.
Great.
If you
I've
don't
done
want
enough
to.
Killing today.
Yeah, we've done enough.
All right. Yeah, dexterity save DC 17 from it.
Yeah, nobody ever instructed us to bring him back alive. If we find him dead, that's fine. We just have to know.
Valerius did say if he's alive, bring back his report.
Yeah, we don't have to bring him alive. Like, I'm so over his brattiness.
33 points of fire damage.
As you blast this thing with fire, you see it's like metallic shell kind of glows a little bit orange for a moment, but then it disperses as if fire did nothing to this creature. All right, Sayu. There's this big metal creature now that's like emerged from this cave. You hear this guy's voice like yelling like, take care of that. The guards are running in panic from this thing. And you see Lady Vess is like in the middle and she's like turning to face this thing and like pushes up her sleeves and like takes her staff out, prepared to do some battle with this.
So the bot thing kind of looks like it's going to go after them.
The bot thing looks like it's going to kill everyone if it has its way.
Mm-hmm. And
it's just got, it's all of these whirring arms that are moving to cut down guards in its path, and it's moving forward right now to like towards Vess and towards all of you.
Yeah, I'll use my new fancy weapons, the Shamsharan.
Yes.
But anyway, she spins them out, catches them, and excuse me, roll to hit.
Yes.
14.
That will not do it. As you go and you try to like hit it with your new size, it just bounces off of this metal shell that is surrounding this
extra
thing.
Extra attack. I'm going to try to do it again.
Yeah.
Go for more of a jointy part. Ooh, natural 20 plus 10, which doesn't matter.
There you go. So roll your dubs damage for that critical hit.
Dubs damage.
Critical hit. Critical roll. Here we go. Ooh, it's all coming together. Oh, what?
Where's my 8? Where's my dang 8?
I don't know. Where'd you put it?
Girl, I don't know. There's one. Wow, when you roll 2 2s.
Ooh, it's a good feeling.
Okay, then it's 10 damage. But I'll spend a key point to add some extra damage.
Yay, do
which,
it!
I'm going to go for lightning because it's metallic. Eh?
Eh? Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, Jesus. It bounced right out of my dice tray.
It's too furious. Too fast.
Yeah, 8 more damage.
Okay, so 18 points of damage. Yeah. So where are you hitting this thing that it manages to land a blow?
I think I'm trying to, like, needle my psi into a joint somewhere and just nail it into its wiring, its circuitry. Ooh.
Yeah, you get it up in there, like, right in that place, like, where one of its leggies come down, and you're, like, jam right up in there. And, yeah, some wires and, like, sparks, like, shoot out as you hit this thing. Okay. All right, and then we move to Vess. So this woman has just had a day. She tried so many spells on Kara before, but here we go. She's like, why? She saw that lightning did good when you did that. So she's going to cast a lightning bolt at 7th level.
Damn.
Gee. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Is that 11? Yeah. 11 D6s.
Woo.
Sick. Yeah, so she, like, blasts this thing with lightning, like, from the top of her staff here, and it, like, crackles all over its body, and you see some singeing coming from this thing. So clearly she got a pretty good blow in. All right, and then we moved. The guards are just done. They're cowering. They're hiding. They're out over it. Kara, we come to you. Make a little save.
Wisdom saving throw. Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, hell yeah, 24.
Hell yeah. What does it look like when Kara bursts back into Kara form?
So yeah, her little mouse fists are pounding on the side of the glass, and finally you see just one. And then you see, yeah, the little mouse fist quickly just like transmute into big Kara fists as you and burst out of this jar.
Shattering glass all around you as you pop out of this bell jar triumphantly.
Exactly.
The lid of the jar is still on the top of your head.
It's like jammed in her curls.
You know what? That was awesome. I'll give you an action. You do you. What are you doing, Kara, with this?
She is then... she's been a mouse for far too long, and so she uses her bonus action to rage, and then is going to... Is Lady Vess within sight?
Yeah, sure, because Lady Vess is currently, like, fighting this thing. So, like, right outside the mess hall, tent flaps, you can see her doing battle with this giant thing that appeared.
Oh, yeah. Kara sees, like, the back of her head and is just so full of fury, runs up to her, pulls, unsheathes her swords, and just, right at the back of her.
Ooh, all right.
She gonna attack. That's a 21 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits a mage.
Oh, it sure do. That is...
In the fancy robes.
That is 23 damage.
Ooh, yeah. You got a huge, like, club in her back here. She is not expecting it whatsoever.
And then she's going to attack again.
Yeah.
With a 24 to hit.
Yeah, no, that's good.
With another 23 damage.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. She is bleeding so profusely. Oh, God. Anything else?
No, that's Kara's turn.
So you do a big chop as this happens, and she like looks over her shoulder and is just like, like just so mad over the course of everything that's happening here. All right, and then okay, and then Arnadel, we bounce back up to you. So Brittany, just in time for your turn. So you see Kara has suddenly appeared from a tent and like is wailing on this mage. And then there's, this big thing here, and Kaldex has still not made a reappearance.
Detect magic on the bronze orb.
This is a big, all magic construct. You can also tell it's very, very old and made by magic that, honestly, like, you're looking at the patterns and everything of this. It's magic that's far more advanced.
Otherworldly, perhaps?
I mean, you heard them casually reference, like, this age, the Age of Arcanum, and this tomb is from there. So maybe this was a society that had understood magic in a way that just modern society just doesn't.
Half of me is like, oh, shit, I want to look more closely at this. Not in this kind of a moment. But also I was kind of trying to see if what's his face was, like, inside of it or something. But it seems like he just set it loose. Which is really...
Yeah, it was probably guarding whatever was beyond the doors.
Real annoyed with what's his face. So I'm going to cast... How close am I to it?
You could... Within 60 feet.
Well, then I'm going to turn... I don't necessarily... I see that Kara's attacking what's her face, but also I'm kind of like, she might be the only thing that can help us with this stupid thing. So I'm going to use my action to run over to Kara and the mage and kind of like try to like break it up and be like, hey, we got to focus on priorities. I think she can help us because we're all going to die otherwise.
You want to make a persuasion check against a raging Kara?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say roll with disadvantage, Brittany.
Really? First roll is a 7. Second roll is a 10. And my persuasion is a +5. So 7, that's 12.
12. I don't think a 12 would do much for Raging Kara. What do you think, Sage?
No.
Yeah. What if I zapped you?
That wow, keeps rude. The rage going, in fact.
Yeah, I think you realize, like, Kara's in this state of just, like, for blood! And so your pleas are just falling on deaf ears at this point. Farah, what are you doing?
I am going to free action just shout at Kara and be like, bigger problems, babe! And, like, just, like, kind of, like, gesture at this giant thing. And then I'm going to use my action to cast haste on Sae.
Ooh, cool.
So you get another action every turn.
Yeah.
Oh my god, thank you.
Yeah, you get like +2 to your AC, also all kinds of stuff.
I'll copy the spell and put it in chat.
Cool.
For you.
So just in time for my construct to take an action. Cool. So Sae was right there. Kara's right there. Vess is right there. Arnadel's close now, but I'm going to say not right there. So everybody here is just going to take 5 damage while you're standing within just range of this creature as these blades are just whirling around it here. So slashing damage. As that happens, everybody takes 5. And then it's going to turn like a bunch of its arms. It's just the mechanical like, as it's like whirling out and these like scythe-like blades are going to come down towards you.
Saye. So here we go. Yeah, 24. Nice. Okay, that's going to be 18 points of slashing damage as one of the arm blades launches into you here. Ooh. Runs into you there, and will a 19 hit
you? No.
All right, then a second arm blade, like, hits you, or, like, and just, like, bounces above your head here. And then, all of a sudden, like, a cannon kind of opens up on the front of this thing, and then, like, bolts of metal and all of this, like, just junk starts flying out of this thing and kind of, like, spewing over everybody in the area here. So I need everybody who is standing close to make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, that's 22.
Thank you so much for this haste. It came just in time.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, that was a natural 20.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, the 10 won't do it. So I think just the 10 is going to be affected as you take 21 points of piercing damage as shrapnel just like spews out of this creature and just showers upon everyone. Yeah, so you get peppered in all of this like pile of junk as it comes in here. All right, and then Saye, we come to you.
Ooh, okay. I want to shout first towards the cave. What the hell is taking so long, man?
You're never gonna believe what's in here. It's amazing.
Well, I'd sure like to find out. Can someone please go check on this guy or something? And then I'm gonna start attacking the robot again.
Yeah. All means, go for it. Also, I would like to say thank you, Matthew Mercer, for this monster. It's amazing. It's called the Gearkeeper Construct, and it totally does have a garbage spew attack. Which is
thanks so much, Matt. Love it, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah. Love this.
Super
Matt,
swell.
Love this.
I rolled a 19 to hit.
A 19 is going to hit it.
Sweet. Okay. That's gonna be 12 damage, and then another attack. That's a 29 to hit.
Ooh, yeah.
With 15 damage. These things are crazy cool.
Yeah. New weapons, Venture Maiden's Patreon. Check them out.
New weapons, so fancy. And then I'm going to also use my gift of the present and get another round.
Heck yeah, do it again! Yes. Oh, also with haste, you have a third attack. So just go ahead and do that one more
now. Well, I rolled a natural 20.
Beep, 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 beep! Saye, what the hell? All right, go.
That is...
Go, do.
Monks are amazing.
16 more damage. That was, I did roll twice.
Wow.
And now my second attack for that round. Or I guess my first attack of the new round.
Yeah. No, you got three attacks.
Go. Oh, well, that was a natural one. So this one just completely bounces off of its...
Yeah,
bronze hide.
You cut off a piece and it fell just at the wrong time.
I rolled
time.
Another one, so this cool streak is coming to a swift end.
Oh no. Yep, okay.
And then 15 to hit.
15 will not do it.
All right.
Yeah, but, so you get a bunch of good hits in here, and maybe you're like, you're so fast that it freaks you out. So like on your second round, you're like, I don't know. Yeah. It's like gravity is just keeping you
going. It's like, what's his name? Animal from the Muppets. It's his hands are just so out of control. He doesn't even know what the hell he's doing anymore.
Yes. Oh God, you're Muppeting all over the place. All right. And at this point, it's Vess's turn and Kara is just there like wailing on her. She is bleeding profusely. There's this like giant robot in front of her. She's looking around. Her guards are dead and she just looks at all of you all and is like, I don't know why you're here, but if you ever return, you will pay. And she like taps her staff on the ground and like in a swirly motion, like the air kind of glimmers and she disappears.
All right.
Bye, lady.
She is gone, and the guards are just out of this fight. If they haven't been shredded already, they are fleeing off into the barren landscape. And Kara, we come to you.
Now that Lady Vess is gone, I done scared her off good. Kara sees this giant bronze construct and is like, ooh, that's what I'm going to hit next. It is going to run up.
Ooh, shiny.
I'm going to hit it.
Get the shiny.
Oh, yes. And so, yeah, sword in hand. And she is also going to make her regular attack and then use her war priest feature to use to the blah, blah, blah words to make another attack.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
So that is going to be a natural 20.
Why does it happen?
As well as a 31 and a and a 19.
Yep,
because this sword is really, just really dumb.
Bostum. Yep.
All right. So, whoops, natural 20 damage.
Yep, here we go.
8, 15, 19, 29.
Oh my god.
And then from her other two attacks, is 16, 27.
How do you want to take out this gear keeper construct?
So she immediately goes for what extremities it has left until it just goes thunk and crashes on the ground, and with her final stroke just raises up her sword, flips up in the air, and then whoosh, and plunges it right through the middle of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you do so, you just shear this, like, machine in half, and just sparks and wires just go flying apart as you just devastate this piece of ancient technology, and just bursts around you, and just, like, in this, like, scattering of junk continues to flicker, and you hear a voice calling, Kaldex calling, seriously, get in here, you should see this!
Oh, I hate him.
Kara immediately starts running off towards the voice, is like, is that someone else I should kill? Because
murder. Cause rage.
And I don't think she actually saw Kaldex, so.
Oh no, yeah, you have no idea.
So she's like voice.
Yeah. Saya and Farah, are you following?
I think Farah gingerly picks her way through the corpses, just like, you know, tip,
yeah, like throw. Excuse me.
She's like, Kara, wait, no, that's our guy. That's our guy Valeria sent us for. And is just gonna like kind of try to chase after, I guess, like dashing after her.
Yes, Kara, you do hear this.
I think, yeah, after she's not in any imminent danger and hears Farrah's words, it's like, okay. And we'll, yeah, drop out of her rage.
Yeah. And as you all kind of, like, run forward into this tunnel here, you do see that there's this larger cave that has been kind of carved out. And there was definitely, like, some kind of gateway here. But now it's opened up and you can see, like, yeah, these two panels with all of these just ancient symbols on them in no language you recognize have already been thrown open. And there's this large room in front of you, completely made out of stone, and there's a sarcophagus in the center of this room, and a figure that has been worn away by time, is there clutching a staff to their chest. But above that, there's this huge statue of a dragon of some kind that's just like looming over this sarcophagus, and around its neck, you see what looks like, it's like if thorns were woven together to form a crown, but it's like completely gilded in gold around the neck of this dragon here. And you see that there are all of these multicolored gems that surround this thing on the collar of this creature. And Kaldex is currently like has climbed up onto the back of this dragon and is like fussing with the gold like thing, clearly intent on trying to remove it from the statue. He's like, thanks for taking care of that thing. I guess I probably should have suspected that, they would have left behind guards. This is incredible. I mean, it isn't a Luxon beacon, but I think this is one of the vestiges of divergence. And he, like, looks around and he's, like, fumbling. No?
I'm gonna make a history check?
Sure, I'll say, like, you don't know. He's like, they were artifacts made by the gods and left. But before they left this place, this is an incredible find. Again, not what I was expecting, but this is amazing. Go You know what? Just tell Valerius you found it and he'll be super happy. And he goes and he like unclasps this thing and like puts it in a bag like on his waist and kind of like hops down off the statue and just looks pleased as can be.
Okay.
Farrah kind of puts her hand on her hip and she's like, yeah, we'd love to take it to Valerius to show him. That'd be really great.
You know, I don't think that was quite the agreement. I think you should just tell Valerius that I found it.
Can I insight check him to see?
Sure.
Guidance myself. 22.
Okay, you, it's hard to tell, but you feel like he probably isn't telling you the whole truth of the situation.
And I just kind of raise my eyebrows and like look over at the rest of them. And I start kind of like closing in on him with my hand out.
Yeah, and he's like, well, hey, you want to hold hands? Like, kind of like backs up against this dragon statue.
Well, I think there's more that Valerius was expecting to hear from you. We came all the way out here to help you. So why don't you come with us at least?
Okay. Yeah, he looks at all of you and, you know, you're covered in like gear oil and blood from killing 50 guards. And he's like, okay, perhaps I will step in and just explain to Valerius myself. Just, you know, it'd be good to have a visit anyway.
Sure, sure. Sweet. Who's got the rock?
I'll take it out. I've got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you calling home base?
Yeah. Hey, Valley, homeboy. We're all finished up here.
Oh, fantastic. Is Kaldax alive?
Yes, alive and well.
Have they retrieved the Luxon?
No. There's something else here that is apparently worth something by the gods, made by the gods, some ancient people.
Kaldax is like a weak smile, like against the, it's like, ah, yes, well, return immediately. Over and out. And you all begin to feel that familiar teleportation. As you are taken from the world of Wildemount and return back to your homes. And you have successfully survived another podcast of episode. Congratulations, maidens! Wow, wow, wow. Thank you all so much for delving into the world of Critical Role with me. I have learned so much about all the cool factions and everything happening. This monster we fought is a brand new monster that you can find there. Our friend Kaldax was a chronomancy mage.
Huh.
Which is, oh, sorry, they call it, sorry, dunamancy, not chronomancy, dunamancy, which is the study of time magic, which is a whole new school of magic that is introduced in this book. There is a lot of really, really cool stuff. So all of you should absolutely either pre-order or make sure to check out the book when it comes out. But thank you all so much for playing. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
I've been your Moon Elf Warlock, Arnadel Dill, played by Brittany.
Hi, I'm Katie. I played Farrah Valen, the Mistress of Murder. Or...
Dude, you murdered like 40 people.
I know, holy crap, yeah. Man. I haven't fought anything that week in so long.
Yeah. Commoners, am I right? Yeah.
Pawns, am I right?
God, get good guards.
Good, do best.
Put up a fight. It's a you problem. Yeah, and I was Nassim, your human monk, Sayanur.
And I was your barbarian who refused to submit.
No! Yes. Yes. Well, thank you all so much for stopping by. We had a great turnout in the chat tonight. If any of you are new, if your critters come in to check out the show, welcome. This is Venture Maidens, an actual play D&D 5th edition podcast. So everything you see here tonight will be turned into a podcast episode in the weeks to come. If you want to find out more about what we do, the best way is to follow us on social media, especially Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Venture Maidens, to get updates on everything we do. Please, yeah, if you like what you see, follow, like, subscribe, check us out. We've got a bunch of cool content on our Patreon as well. But honestly, just thank you all so much for being here. Y'all are the bee's knees.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and so, until next time.
Venture away!
Venture away, everybody, to Wildemount, or wherever you are. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Venture Maidens. If you liked what you heard, we'd love if you checked out our main show, subscribed to our feed, and followed us at Venture Maidens on Twitter and Instagram. We can't wait to hear all about the fabulous adventures your party gets into when you pick up The Explorer's Guide to Wildemount. But until that day comes, don't forget to venture away.